Hey guys, it's Natalie. We have a really, really special episode today. This is part one of our two-parter with the one and only Mackenzie Westmore. So without further ado, here you go. And welcome to Passions for Life, where your hosts, Natalie Z and Travis Schultz, pull back the curtain on the show you always denied watching, Passions.
Passions.
Folks, listeners, passionistas, we have our very first guest today.
It's very exciting.
And we've set the bar really high, and she might be our last
first
guest
and because last of that.
I'm not really sure where we're going to go from here. We have a real life honest to God soap star on the show with us. You may know her from the sci-fi show Face Off. You may know her as the mogul behind the monolith Westmore Beauty. You might know her as Riley Sinclair, which is the best fucking soap name ever from All My Children. But we think you probably know her best as Auntie Sheridan from Passions.
Yes.
Mackenzie Westmore is here with us.
Hi. What an intro. Gotta get to try and live up to that one.
It was off the cuff, guys. I mean, I did
love
have to,
it.
I did have to look at Riley Sinclair.
Well done.
I did some good work. Yeah, you're
well
doing the
rest. Done.
Yeah. Now Travis is going to take
now
over.
Now he's going to leave. And it's just me and
I'm going to go get a cocktail.
Mackenzie.
Mackenzie. Hi.
Hi.
How long has it been since we've well, I know that you and Travis saw each other at a reunion.
That's right. That's right.
Thing at the mall, right?
At the mall. The bowling alley.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
At the mall, right. The bowling alley. The
yeah, I was like, a hotel. There was a hotel over in Hollywood, but they had the bowling alley next door, and they had...
Yeah. What is that? What is that mall right there? It's Vine and Hollywood.
Ah,
Hollywood and Vine. I think that's
Hollywood and Vine.
Yeah.
It's where the Oscars are.
Remember that place?
Yeah, I remember.
That was the last time I saw you. But when, I'm trying to remember, when did both of you, what year did both of you leave Passions?
So I left, yeah. We both left in 2002. Travis left in May, I believe, or May or June. And I left closer to like August, September. I was only there without him for like 2 or 3 months.
Right.
I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It was 2002. Okay.
Yeah.
And so you guys really kind of left before, like for me, the bulk of
the crazy
happening.
Yes.
The craziness.
For you, definitely.
Yeah. Like, for me, the crazy happened after.
Yeah. People definitely thought it was a bit of a suicide pact for us, but it just sort of timed out that our contracts were up at a very similar time.
Wow.
Didn't. And I was telling her not to do it.
What?
Wasn't I telling you?
No. No, you were like, come join me.
Oh, I was?
Yeah.
Great out here.
Yeah.
No, yeah. What did I tell you though? I told you that they were going to fire you. What did I say?
Well, we can talk about that.
Okay, that's a different episode.
That's a different episode.
Wow. I don't know.
Well, no, there's more to it. I mean, Ooh. Do you want this to be the episode where you talk about how you thought you were going to have a threesome with me? And when I said no, you said you're getting fired. Do you want this to be that episode? I mean, Mackenzie's here. She can.
Hey.
I'm a lot different now than I was. I know the threesomes.
Funny how we grow up slightly, isn't it?
Not an option anymore. But now threesomes happen over Zoom.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, we're having a first Zoom threesome. Hey, this could go down in history.
Yeah.
Wow. I just got real red.
Oh, I'm
sorry. Well,
that's great. I love that. I love that. I love that Mackenzie got to see that in person.
Well, because I remember that. I remember how red you would get on set if things were like, if things went sideways.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I actually have a bashful reaction.
Yes, you do. Well, I remember when you and I did the awkward yoga scene.
Okay.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Let's just dive right in.
Let's just get right into it.
Yeah.
Let's just jump right in. I for the life of me, probably I know why, because I was embarrassed. But I don't remember this. I mean, it was, tell me what happened.
Yeah, he's blocked it out.
Okay. I looked online. I can't find anything. I'm like, what is this?
I'll find it. One of my fans will find it. Trust me, they're amazing. Like, I still have the best Passions fans.
Oh God, I'm sure you got.
Oh, they're the best. The best. I love all these women. Some of the guys annoy me a little bit, but the women are amazing. Like, for some reason, the guys love to like repost photos of me and say, look how bad she looks now. I'm like, seriously? Really?
Of course it's the guys who do that. Yeah. That's
like, dude, go crawl back in your hole. But the women are amazing. Yeah. So, okay. Going back to that scene, I remember when you and I got the script and we talked beforehand and we're like, okay, wait a second. Sheridan's doing yoga and her nephew is sitting there watching, or he's doing yoga with her.
I remember
you were questioning it. Okay, hold on. I try to explain this scene just a little bit. And I remember you and I got on set and they're like, no, Travis is just going to sit in the chair. Mackenzie, you're going to do yoga. And I remember saying, I forget who was directing, but I remember saying to the director, I was like, wait, he's just going to sit there and watch me. I'm like, yeah. I was like, and he's my nephew. Yeah. I was like, okay, is there something in the storyline that we don't know that's going to come out that he's not my nephew? Are we like having an affair? Is there something that's going to come out like down the road? I remember asking this because I was like, is this too creepy that my nephew is watching me do yoga and they had me bending down in front of you doing downward dog? Yeah. Downward dog in front of your nephew that's around the same age.
Is it all coming back to you?
It's coming back to me.
It was in Sheridan's cottage.
Yep.
You were sitting on, I think you were on the sofa, and I was in for the, I'd moved, the Sheridan had moved the table in the cottage to do yoga in front of her nephew.
What were you guys talking about in the scene? Do you remember?
Gwen.
Yeah. We're
talking about Gwen.
Yep.
He was confiding in me about Gwen, and even with that, like, why are we having such a heartfelt conversation? And I'm like, shoving my ass in his face. Like, what? What passions, is this about?
The answer is
Thursday. Do you remember when you would ask questions about your motivation and they would answer Thursday?
No.
That's when we got our paychecks. Yeah.
You know, I got to say, I don't think I ever asked the question motivation because I just relinquished to a place that there was no motivation. It really was just pull it out and just keep going.
I just remember you being, on that note, you were one of the few people of certainly our age group. I mean, the older actors kind of had figured this out, but I just feel like you walked a really steady tightrope of knowing what horseshit it was, but also knowing that like, this is what it's going to be. We can bitch and moan about it, and we can
exactly
and make fun of it, or we can just do it and
do our job. Yeah. And that's really what it boiled down for me was that, you know, when I first got the job, I remember I was ecstatic. I mean, I went through 7 auditions. It was December of 1999. I auditioned for Gwen. And I remember sitting.
You don't say.
I did. I was called in for Gwen, and I remember going in for 4 or 5 auditions for Gwen. I kept getting called back. And I remember sitting in the room one day with all these other girls, and I remember seeing them walk Liza through. And I was like, well, who's that girl? Like, what's the big deal? Why does she have like all these special people around her? And then come to find out Susan Lynch's daughter. And I was like, oh, great. Well, there goes that job. Not getting that one. All right. Adios, everybody. But I stuck it through and I thought, well, I'll stick this through and see what happens. And I'll never forget. It was that same audition. Actually, I walked into the room. Lisa de Cazotte, God rest her soul, and Richard Chilling, God rest his soul. They were both in the room auditioning me. And God bless them because they were the two that said, you know, she just doesn't read Gwen. I see her as a Sheridan. Yeah. Let's bring her back as Sheridan. And that was the first time I ever had producers think creatively outside the box.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so used to producers they just don't think that way. They want the cookie cutter, whatever they want right in front of them, right then, right there, right now.
Yeah.
And both Lisa and Richard, they didn't think that way. So I remember getting called back then the 5th time, now starting over again as Sheridan. And then it was the 6th time and the 7th time. And by the last time, I remember it was April of 2000, right before my birthday on April 26th, I had done the audition. Oh my God, what was his name? He was our first casting director. I can't believe I'm blanking on his name. And I just saw him not that long ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
I remember before Jackie, and I remember reading with him, and it was hysterical because he's gay, and I just went for it because he played gay or Luis.
Yeah.
And I just went for it. I sat on his lap. I kissed him. Like, I just went for it. I didn't care. I just was like, we had the best time. We had so much. Dawn. It was Dawn. We just had the best time. And he was so sweet. I mean, and he went totally red when I sat on his lap. But that was like the fun of it. It was just like, let's go for it. You know, if I'm going to try and get this part and it's a soap opera, I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah.
So I remember doing that audition, seeing two of the other girls backstage, being nervous, you know, is this going to work? Is it not? And a week went by, and about a month or two prior to that, I'd done an episode of Star Trek. And they had told me that there was a chance they were possibly going to bring me back as a recurring character. So I get the phone call. I'm sitting, now mind you, on top of this. So I just did Star Trek, just did all my auditions for Passions, and this is like no secret here. I had just had breast implant surgery because I was feeling very like down about myself. I wasn't feeling very good about myself. And I thought, you know what? It's something I kept stuffing my bra anyhow. So I was like, this is stupid. I keep going on auditions and, you know, shoving this stuff in and it's hot and sweaty. I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah.
So I went and did it. And I remember I was recovering in my parents. I was still living with my parents. I remember I was recovering. I was sitting at the kitchen table and I was really bummed because, I mean, now I've got this questionable of Star Trek. I've gone through all these auditions of Passions. Months have gone by. I've just come out of surgery and I'm like, bleh. So I remember sitting there like really bummed and phone rang. I pick it up and they say, hi, is Mackenzie there? Yes. This is she. I said, all right, we need you to come in next week for a fitting. And I thought it was Star Trek. And I was like, well, why? Why do I have to come in for a fitting? I already like have my Starfleet uniform. And they're like, huh? You mean Starfleet?
Yeah.
This is like, so typical.
Yeah. They're like, no, you're playing, you're Sheridan Crane in Passions, right? Yeah. I was like, what? My agent didn't have time to call me. She didn't get to me in time.
Actors find out that they get jobs from the costume department
more often than not.
More often. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So that's how I found out. And then like 30 minutes later, I get a phone call from my agent. Hey, guess what? I was like, oh my God. So I was ecstatic. I was screaming. I was so happy and excited. And I remember them calling me and saying, okay, you got the job. Is your passport up to date because you're leaving for Paris in a week?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I panicked because I'm only a couple of days out of surgery.
Oh my God.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God damn it.
I didn't say anything to anybody. And I just got on that plane and I called my surgeon and I said, okay, what do I do to not pop a stitch? What do I do to keep everything in place?
Yeah.
And I will never forget being in. Now this is, I mean, I can go into so many stories if you want, as much as you want of the Paris side, because I got a lot to tell on that. But one thing I will say was that when I got there in Paris and went through what I did, they had a scene where I was running around kicking a soccer ball with kids.
What? No, they did not.
I remember saying to them, I was like, do I really need to run around right now? Could I maybe just like kick the ball? Like I'm trying to get around it so
and
I don't have to
still
run.
Secret of,
yes.
About,
I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to like panic anybody or like say anything. So I, again, just sucked it up, put on a really tight bra and went for it. And I ended up popping a stitch. And I had to call my surgeon on emergency and thank God for the guy that was playing Jean-Luc because he spoke French and he went to the local pharmacy to try and help me out. He knew. He went to the local pharmacy and they were closed and there was really nothing I could do. I just had to suck up the pain and suck up the broken stitch until I got home and talked to my surgeon and then got on the plane and got home. I was fine. And
oh my God.
That was my intro to Passion.
Wow.
I am going to go back and watch those scenes just to try and find the pain.
You will see me painfully kicking a soccer ball through the streets of Paris.
Oh my
so
God.
That scene actually was kept in.
Yeah. 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 It's a moment. It's not even like a scene.
It's just a glance.
Cause we,
I mean, there was so much that happened even down to things like around the same time. And this was another thing that was like, are you guys for serious? I remember us filming in certain areas, and we had a van, we would drive around, they dropped me off, and it was just to get, you know, aerial shots and like more like ambiance and not like real speaking or anything. It was just Sheridan in Paris. Right,
Sheridan in Paris.
Yeah. And I'll never forget the van pulling up and them screaming to me in French, you know, get in, hurry, get in. I'm like, whoa, whoa, what's going on? Well, come to find out, they didn't have permits to film.
I'm not surprised by that.
That's so passions.
Yeah.
So I jumped in that van, and I remember hearing the cops, and we took off. Oh, I was like, you guys almost got me arrested in France.
I mean, it's a romantic story, though.
It was. It was. I have no regrets on that.
Arrested in Paris.
Yeah, I would have been fine even to have gotten arrested.
Yeah.
So that was all my intro to passions and. So,
wow.
When you got all of this material about the Princess Diana stuff.
Right. Your best friend.
Your best friend.
My best friend.
What the fuck were you thinking?
You know what's funny is when I got the script, it just didn't resonate. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but on paper, I didn't think much of it. Mm-hmm. And even when I filmed it, you would think something would click in my head, and it still didn't. And it wasn't until I sat down with my parents and watched those first couple of episodes of Sheridan in Paris mourning her best friend. Now, that's one thing. If she was just mourning her, that's
right.
One thing.
Right.
When they did have me film the scene of two things, the phone call, talking to her, and having the bad feeling of, you know, oh Diana, don't, you know, you and Dodie.
So painful.
That, and then when they had my character drive through the tunnel, which actually when I was filming in Paris, I actually drove through the real tunnel that she did die in.
Yeah.
And with that tunnel, there is a bump that they were telling me, the locals were telling me that accidents happen all the time.
Yeah.
And I was freaked out. I actually broke out in hives filming that scene because I was so panicked driving through the freaking tunnel that Princess Diana died in. And here I'm playing the American princess and I die. So that was the other thing for me, was that when they had Sheridan go to the light and they had somebody do a British accent speaking to Sheridan of go back, it's not your time, go back.
Yeah.
That's when I remember watching it with my parents thinking, oh my God, this is the beginning and the end of my career. I'm done. That's it.
I think we all had that moment.
And I'm done.
Definitely had that moment as well.
But in your defense, I want to say, you know, now, especially knowing now that you had just had major surgery, this was like a huge deal, a huge job for all.
Yeah, 20 years old. It's like, oh my God. Like,
huge. And you had traveled, you were in a foreign country. I don't know if you knew that you were going to be the star of this show. I don't know how much.
I had no idea.
Yeah. I mean, just the gravity of all that stuff. I could easily see how, like, all you're doing is you're like memorizing words. You're like, okay, I got this. Let me do this and try to make it work. And
you're
then
there to work.
Yeah. And then seeing it back could be, troubling. I know that Travis told me that the PR surrounding that was pretty intense, and like there was something in Rolling Stone.
Yes. We were in Rolling Stone as the guilty pleasure. I remember we were in Rolling Stone as the show that was so bad that you had to watch it.
Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah.
It was like a train wreck.
Well, do you remember when we were also in Entertainment Weekly, which I thought was really impressive for us.
We had a lot of amazing press.
We did,
Time Magazine, I believe.
Yeah,
I think it was Eva Demirjian was the publicist. And
Eva was great.
Kick-ass job. She was amazing.
I was thinking about her earlier today and how my first interview with her, Eva Demirjian was the publicist for the show, and she worked her ass off. And I remember my very first interview with her, it was in her office, and I think it was for Soap Digest, and the guy doing the interview had asked something about, you know, Ethan picking Gwen or Teresa or some stupid shit. And I said, I didn't understand how to do interviews yet. And I was like, well, yeah, I think he should pick Teresa too. And Eva's eyes got really big. She was like, off the record, off the record, off the record. Can we strike it, please strike it. And I was like, what?
Oh
what?
I
didn't understand the politics.
She was always telling me how to do interviews.
But she was amazing. I mean, she got such huge press for us, and she made so many amazing things happen I get it. You know, it's a new show on NBC. It was the new big deal. And at that time, soaps were still in their heyday. You know, we are like the tail end of the heyday of soap operas.
Right. But also to start a brand new one. was pretty huge event. It was
huge, yeah. I mean, and for NBC, for it to be a big network,
right,
to start a new one. And then to also, you know, what was, you know, the blessing and the sadness was to replace, I think, was it Guiding Light?
None of us know. I think it's Sunset Beach, but somebody wrote in and corrected us, and I don't
think it's Guiding Light.
It might have been. No, I'll tell you, it wasn't. And let me tell you why.
Someone said, I think the email was Sunset Beach.
I think it was Sunset Beach because I actually tested for the part of Michelle. I saw this in my notes on Guiding Light the week before I tested for Passions. So Guiding Light was still, I think it was Sunset Beach. Listeners, I know you already have.
Yeah.
And I'm a real asshole for not remembering, but can you please remind us? Who passions?
We need Val.
We need Val.
All I remember is I remember being in the market one time and I remember checking out, getting my stuff. And there was a woman in front of me and she was talking to the checker very loudly saying, oh, you know, I loved this soap. I thought it was Guiding Light. Cause I thought I remember her saying Guiding Light. I love this show and it was my favorite soap opera, but it got replaced by this new thing called Passions. And I'm like, trying to climb away. I don't know if she's seen me yet, but she turns and she goes, and I wouldn't be okay with it if it weren't for you because I love Sharon and Crane.
Oh my God.
I was like, oh my God, I love you. Okay. That's I don't have to try and squeak away somehow.
Yeah, I mean, they're the soap fans, man.
Soap fans are the best.
And I know that you got the good ones. You got the cream of the crop.
I got to say, with Passions, I lucked out. I got the best fans. All My Children, not so much. That one I had some real issues with. And that's maybe for another day, but some of the stories.
We are actually going to talk about All My Children. Not now, but
no.
I would like to do some probing about what happened after we left?
What happened?
So much. Most of the show happened. When I look at that, when I look at the library of episodes, I realize that I was just a speck on that show.
A blip.
There was so much. Oh my God, there was so much that happened. Trying to remember. You guys left in 2002 and I continued on till, what did it go till? 2008?
You think so?
Show into?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 2008. Yeah.
But I will tell you, but before you launch into, because I know there's a lot, I in doing research, I did go to Sheridan Crane's Wikipedia page and I scrolled to the bottom because I was like, oh, I know all this upper stuff. Let me get to the lower stuff.
Yeah.
And I told Travis this, that I got to a place where I felt really, real yucky. And I don't really use that word. it felt very dark, and it also felt like I felt really protective of you.
It
felt like the place that it went in general was just a not a negative kind of dark, not good place, but for you especially.
You were reacting to the actor having to do this.
And you know, feel free to go as far as you want, but I know that you had, there were some dark times for you. I know too.
I mean, I gotta say, and by the way, because you know, Travis, we became really good friends and it was a sad moment. I mean, we sang at my sister's wedding. And so it was really bad for me to lose you as a friend to lean on during that time, as much as I love Eric Martsoff and we're still friends to this day, but you became really like a brother to me. Right. So when you left, it was like, oh, okay, who do I lean on now? You know, it just, because there were some things that they did with the character that I just didn't understand. I couldn't wrap my brain around because there were a few things that mimicked my own life. And that's where it became dark and difficult. You know, there were some amazing moments, you know, some of the things with Sharon and Louise and the dancing and that's what I remember, things were going to be like amazing for my character, but that was before you guys left, you know, when Sharon and Louise did the first tango.
Yeah.
That was like the big, that's when I knew, okay, we're going to be a super couple. That was when I knew.
Your love story was amazing. I always was jealous of
that.
Louise and Sheridan's. And I think that's why everybody loved you guys so much, because it was
star-crossed lovers.
It was star-crossed lovers, and you guys weren't being crazy about it. Like Teresa and Ethan were supposed to be star-crossed lovers, but it was like, no, she was.
Teresa was crazy though, and that's where it bothered me, because she was like psycho, and that's that. There was no psychotic, you know, things going on here. The only thing psychotic that got thrown in was Beth, but that made sense because she really was like a psycho character. Yeah. Teresa wasn't written that way. So that's where it was confusing for me as an actor and also as a fan of the show. I loved Passions. I would sit down and watch it every day. Yeah. So I mean, I really did.
Not me. I tried.
Well, really, it was the only way because I would never read the full script. I mean, those scripts are huge. And I would do 25 to 50 pages a day. So I would just spend my time memorizing. So the only way that I knew what everybody else was doing was to watch the show.
Wait, you guys didn't read the whole scripts?
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah, right, Natalie.
Yeah, right.
I don't even read my
own. She doesn't even read anybody else's scripts.
Scripts that I write, I don't read the whole scripts.
She doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I only read my stuff. I was like, that's all I care about right now.
Yeah, exactly. Just right.
Because you know what was? For me, my mental thing was just get through it. I love my job. I don't want to piss the crew off. I don't want to keep anybody here anybody longer than I need to. You
hear that?
And I know some actors were a little too keen on their laughing.
Yeah, you hear that?
But
hey, I.
It was just.
I didn't get that bad till the end.
Yeah, for you, it was towards the end. For me, it was the entire 8 years.
Yeah. Yeah. When Galen and James and I got together.
We can say it's Galen.
My God. It was Galen, James were.
Those guys.
Yeah. It was like when I would get my script, and if I saw that I had a scene with Galen and James, on one hand, I would be thrilled. And on the other hand, I'd think, okay, I'm going to be here for 5 hours doing two pages.
Yeah, we fucked around a lot.
Yeah,
and really did.
Us too into that equation. Yeah. How did you even tolerate us?
Are you guys, are you kidding me? I had a blast doing it. That's why I never got mad at any of it. For me, the only times when I would show up to work irritated was any of the Christmas scenes. Those are the only times that I would be so pissed off to have to show up to work because when I saw that it was a scene of 20 to 30 people.
Yeah.
With some of the people that we had, it was wrangling cats.
Yeah.
I knew that we would be there till 2 or 3 a.m. And that's where I was like, oh, seriously, guys, can't you please just break us off into like groups of 2 and 3 and call it a day? Like, can't we like edit this somehow? Why do we have to have James, Galen, you, Travis?
Yeah.
Ben would jump in. Yeah. You know, I mean, Rodney, like everybody that just after a while, I think even for me, after a while, it was like, oh, screw it. Just like, I don't care anymore.
I know. Like the weddings, the prom boat disaster.
Anytime I saw a wedding, a holiday,
it was a long month.
Funeral.
Any party,
I would cringe. Yeah. I will say the only like funeral one that was a trippy one was the Sheridan funeral. When they did kill Sheridan, and I think you were still there, Travis, through that stuff.
Yeah,
I remember for whatever reason they couldn't. I don't know why, but they couldn't edit putting like closing the casket and then letting me out and then putting it underneath. They had me in the casket. They closed the lid and then they lowered me down into what they created like a ground. And I remember laying in there. And I had no mic. I had no communication with anybody. And I thought, I can do this. I'm good. I can do this. And I'll never forget hearing the dirt being dropped onto the top. And all of a sudden I had a panic attack and I couldn't get out. And I remember screaming and I remember pounding on that thing. And thank God for Rodney Van Johnson, because he was the only one that heard me. And I heard him say, hey guys, cut. I think I hear Mackenzie screaming. And he was the one that got yelled cut and they got me out and I was in tears. I just was like, I can't, I'm done. I'm out. That was one of the first of like, seriously guys, do I really have to do some of these things? When you're talking about some of the stuff that happened after you left, I would say the first like big, like really traumatic thing was I was newly married. You know, I met him on the show. We were married in 3 dates. It was, you know, a really quick one in wedding.
Yeah.
In Vegas. And, we had gotten pregnant, right? Pretty quick. And I remember, this was around the time they had Sheridan in a pit, kidnapped by Beth, pregnant. So they were writing both my pregnancy and the character's pregnancy at the same time. Sadly, for what I went through, I actually miscarried on a plane ride from New York to Los Angeles the entire 6 hours in the back of the plane, in a bathroom, in the worst turbulence I'd ever experienced. So that set up a bad flying experience for me, amongst many other things. Sure. I remember getting back and being the trooper that I am. I said, nope, I can get to set. I can go right back to work. I remember being on set and passing out. I remember being on like in the middle of a scene and passing out, and they had to call the ambulance. I got to the hospital. Well, apparently the, I'm just trying to think of like the best way to term this, word this.
Right.
The tissue. It didn't finish. It didn't, right. You know, it didn't pass through. And I was devastated. I was 4 months along and I was devastated because I really wanted a child. Mm-hmm. And I remember going to the hospital. They didn't have time to give me any anesthesia. They had to do a DNC, an emergency DNC. And I just remember the doctor, slapping my face and just trying to keep me awake because I just wanted to pass out. The pain was so bad. Wow. So that's my own thing. Now going back to set, they continued on with the pregnancy storyline, I guess, because they couldn't rewrite it. So they continued on and they had my character then in the pit with the pregnancy thing. And I remember there was one scene where they thought it'd be a good idea to for the viewers to think that Sheridan might lose the baby. Mm. So I remember them pouring fake blood on my crotch. And this was only maybe a month after losing my own child.
And they knew about it.
Obviously. Oh, yeah. They knew because they had to call the ambulance to get me there. Yeah. They knew everything that happened. And so, but I did it and I got through it. And you would think there would almost be something cathartic, you know, if it had continued to be and that Sheridan lost the baby, I lost my baby. Okay. You know, psychologically we move on, but then they kept the baby. And where it got really difficult was it was like another month after that, they had Sheridan give birth. And that's where I mentally lost it because I remember holding a little baby in my arms only a few months after having lost my own child. And thinking, oh my God, this is what I should be experiencing right now. And I'm not. Mm-hmm. And that was the most painful thing I've ever dealt with in my life.
It was tough.
That was really rough. I would go to my dressing room every day after filming and I would cry for a good hour before I could go home and get my car. Cause I couldn't drive. I couldn't drive with the crying that I was doing. So I would sit up in my dressing room and just cry and go home, go about my day and just try and find life again.
Well, because it was a daily reminder for you.
Yeah.
You know, miscarriages, full disclosure, I too have had a miscarriage and it's something that it never goes away. You never recover from it, but to have it be so in your face that way has got to just, it's daily. Basically an open wound that will never, ever, ever close.
It doesn't close.
I think it would have been probably very humane of them to let Sheridan lose the baby.
And move on. Yeah, I wish they had, and I don't know. I mean, I know that they had like a whole Bible of stories, and I know they had their direction. But yeah, you're right; they can. Like, and I wish that they had for the amount of therapy that I needed after that, and the amount of stress that I went through. It was super super difficult, and it just
felt
a bunch of other things that rolled out after that.
Yeah.
It took a long, long time to even begin to try and recover from something like that. And that's why when I got pregnant then with Maddox, I was terrified because
I thought,
oh my God, am I going to go through this again? And, I just was so thrilled when I had him and they just had to keep hiding my stomach. And, that was a whole other issue because there was so much that went on with both pregnancies. Because with the first one, I don't know if you guys know this, but because Natalie, you don't want to say when you're pregnant the first couple of months. You don't talk about it because you don't know. First 3 months, you always stay quiet. I remember getting called up to the office and I was maybe at the 2 to 3 month mark, like right around there. And I remember getting called to the office and being said, you're fat.
No.
Oh my God.
No, that didn't happen.
Yeah. Yep.
I was thinking that's where you were going. And I was like, there's no way.
That's what you're doing, but oh my God.
And I had to say, God. Listen,
I'm very angry right now.
Oh my
God. Sorry, Travis. I know it almost like chokes me up because I think back to these things and it's like, God, I remember that moment. I remember sitting in the office and saying, okay, I need to let you know I'm pregnant. Yeah. I'm not fat.
And
I'm pregnant.
They took that away from you. They took your privacy away and they took away the, I was going to say it wasn't malicious, but you know what? It might have been. That's shitty.
Your nose.
That's shitty.
It sucked.
That's such a horrible experience to have to go through.
It really was. And especially too, like I look back on, okay, I wasn't the thinnest of the actresses on the show. And I know that. And it was rubbed in my face quite often.
By whom? Either by
production or even fans. I would get a lot of, on the message boards, I would get a lot of, you know, you're a whale, you should not even be on the show.
Just for the record, I have never met anyone in better shape than you still. And I haven't seen you in like 15 years. I'm just saying that to be real.
No, but I will say, you know, on the show, I definitely had my ups and downs, but in the grand scheme of life, to call someone a size 6 fat is not acceptable at all. That is not acceptable on any terms or any level. And that was probably the biggest I got was, around there. And I just remember being in shock that, you know, I was the fat one of the show.
I can't find really my mind is so was. Blown.
And I would get happened. So upset. I would get so, I remember too, I would be so jealous whenever I'd be so upset when I would read the script and see that I had a scene, especially with Lindsay. Because she's 5 feet tall.
The size of my 5-year-old daughter. Yeah.
She's the size of my calf.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I'm 5'8", you know, and to stand next to her, I felt like a gargantuan. Like, I really felt like, all right, they just put Tubbo next to the twig. And that's what would be reflected on the message boards from some fans of, you know, Teresa's the beautiful one and the skinny one. And why are you even on this show? You should just like quit now.
That really blows my mind because I thought we're all fucked up, but like I would look at you guys and I'd be like, they're so beautiful. And they make me change every time I look nice. They would make me like go change.
You were not pretty on that show.
I was not. No, it's fine. I'm over it. But
okay. I thought you were stunning.
Well,
you're another one that I was like, oh my God, she's so skinny. Why can't I be as skinny as Natalie?
It was chain smoking and living on Coors Light. Yeah, I mean, that's all it was.
You're also a little one.
I am a little one.
Lindsay.
You're petite. And, you know, the other thing, too, that this was my screw up is that before I got married and pregnant, I was dating actually a guy that was a former Mr. Olympia. And we had this whole routine. I mean, freaking Mr. Olympia, he was huge, but we would go to the gym every day. We would lift heavy weights. We would do our coffee and our aspirin and our, you know, the whole formation, the concoction that you do for bodybuilding. And I remember that I was big. I was really gaining because I loved it. I loved weight training.
Yeah.
I loved lifting with this guy. And I put on a good 20 pounds. The only problem was we did the Atkins diet together and I gained 20 pounds, which really pissed me off because he lost weight and I gained. And that was another time they called me to the office and said, you're fat again. Lose weight.
Sorry.
Do you want me to go to somebody's house with like a baseball bat?
I'm going to get up.
You gotta write some names down.
I don't think there's a statute of limitations on any of this shit. No.
And that's when we realized this bitch is a two-parter. We have so much more to talk about in the next episode. Mackenzie will be joining us again. So please join us next week for the rest of our interview with Mackenzie Westmore. You will not be disappointed. Bye.